We have one item on consent. I move approval.
Second.
And Steve, were we recording or do I need to?
We're live.
To do that again.
Yes, we're live.
Okay, thank you.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, then moving into discussion. Commissioner Fedorchak, the first is the Dakota Natural Gas you referred to.
Yes, and I think I've already said what I kind of need to set the table for that. I think we can kick it over to Jack to sort of lead to the discussion on their evaluation and their ultimate recommendation.
Jack, it's all yours.
Jack, your microphone seems to be having issues. It's producing really high-pitched sound. You want to go ahead and try toggling your audio off and back on?
Jack, why don't you drop out and come back in, please?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Commissioner Christman.
You know, if there's a connection issue, I don't want to speak for the other two, but I've been over this pretty thoroughly and comfortable with the determination. So I'm ready to just let it go at that.
And I would agree. I think Jack is going to try to call back in though. So,
okay.
Oh, he has re-arrived. Jack, can you?
Hello. Can anybody hear me now?
Oh, perfect. Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that. We received a jurisdictional determination from Dakota Natural Gas, and this is to serve a couple communities, the Mayville community as well as the Hillsboro community. And I believe they anticipate that just a little ways from the Hillsboro community, there should be an anchor customer. And they were requesting a jurisdictional determination to see whether this would be a jurisdictional under the Siting Act. Ultimately, the conclusion that, as you've probably read my recommendation, is that it is not jurisdictional under the Siting Act. And this would be similar to other cases that we've previously had, including the previous Dakota Natural Gas service to Drayton. And functionally, it will operate similar to the Drayton distribution area as well, where I think it comes off the Viking line and then it meets the town border station before proceeding to the local communities. Is there any specifically you'd like me to address with regards to this jurisdictional determination, commissioners?
I think you've covered it for me, Jack. The next step would be just for you to get that letter out to them.
But I can do that shortly after this meeting.
Yeah, I agree. And Commissioner Christman, you were probably dialing back in, Jack, but he indicated he is in agreement as well.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Jack. The next on discussion is online auction school courses. That would be Conrad. Are you on the line?
Yes, Commissioner Crotchus, I'm here. Commissioner Christman, did you have anything you wanted to lead in with?
Well, I'll just say that Conrad has brought this request to my attention some time ago. We've talked about it numerous times, and I have some concerns about it, but I think that with the right monitoring and the right process being followed that those concerns can potentially be overcome. I don't know if everyone had a chance this morning to see the last memo that was that Conrad sent, that we reached out to the Auctioneers Association in North Dakota for some information and, or, you know, to get their thoughts or ideas and make use of their expertise. And so I'll turn it over to Conrad, since I don't have that all in front of me at this moment, to just kind of give a good assessment of where we're at and how we'd kind of like to proceed. So go ahead, Conrad.
All right, I'll give the commission just a brief background on this. We were approached approximately two and a half months ago by one school that was interested in establishing their currently approved auction program and forming it as a distance learning online-based auction program. Subsequently, we received two additional requests for information from schools that were already approved by North Dakota, have already approved North Dakota courses for the same request. So this is definitely something that I think we're going to continue to see other schools request and have information about to be able to give back to them. A couple of the reasons that they cite doing this is just obviously due to the COVID-19 pandemic, with depending upon states, travel restrictions, lockdowns, their ability to have the host the in-residence programs. In addition, just some monetary savings that could be benefited to by North Dakota auctioneers when they attend these programs, as North Dakota does not currently have any in-residence programs. Each auctioneer is required to travel to the school or to the location where the course is actually being hosted for that. North Dakota Admin Code 6908-0101 is the portion of the admin code that lists out the requirements for auction schools. And I worked with our general counsel, John Hsu, on this as well. While the rule does not specifically, it doesn't specifically state anything about online courses or in-residence programs, there's two key phrases within that rule that we are interested in understanding and wanted to bring to the commission's attention for your perspective on it. One is in the presence of, the course requirements require 60 hours in the presence of a school instructor. And then the second is at least 40 hours of which has to be under the supervision of a licensed auctioneer with at least 5 years of experience. Working with our general counsel, it seems a logical step that depending upon how the school chooses to implement their distance learning program, they can comply with that requirement. And some of the things that the schools have brought up to us is conducting live webinars that would be interactive, that would have a video conference capability, and in addition to that, a call-in option if a student didn't have the ability to do a video chat. And so that would allow them to host different courses with the students physically present there. So the student would still have to log in at a specific time to attend portions of the program. Additionally, they do have some online lessons that are encompassed with a video, a pre-recorded video that goes with that, and then discussion and some additional testing requirements with that. The way staff has looked at this going forward is we do see in the current, with the current state and just in general with the education system that we have, is that there's always been a big move in the last two decades for distance learning, and there's definitely an opportunity that we can allow distance learning for online for the auction programs. But there's a couple of things that we want to make sure we do to make sure that we implement it correctly. And the first is under the admin code, the commission approves the auction school courses. We don't necessarily give blanket approval for an auction school to operate. So the course that they apply for is what's actually approved. So taking that thought process, we would recommend that we don't deviate from that process, that if a school is interested in having an online portion to their program as well and having that course approved, they would need to apply for approval for that course similar to, in the same fashion that they applied for their in-residence program. And then with that, there's a couple of additional requirements that I would like to recommend that we have the school specifically address in that application. One is they'd have to truly identify how they're going to meet the 60 hours of instruction, and then specifically the 40 hours of instruction that are required under the direct supervision of a licensed auctioneer. So they'd have to specifically spell out how they're going to meet that requirement. The next thought that comes up is these auction school programs, the distance learning gives the student a little bit more time to complete the program, as opposed to when somebody attends in residence, that's typically done over a 4 or 5 day period where they actually go to a conference center and they sit down and they actually attend the class. So with this, some of the questions I'd like the school to address is what do they do to address absences of students, and what's their policy for that? What's an approved absence? How many can the student miss? How do they make up those sessions? Obviously, if they're attending in residence, then it's a little bit difficult. They're already there. They've got to just go to the conference center, the classroom to be able to take the class. The next is just identifying, what their platform is for students to be able to log in. Does each student have their own unique username and password? I don't want to get into all the specifics of their security and their process, but we need to know that the student logging in has been validated, and that's actually the person that's supposed to be in attendance. I think that's an important aspect for distance learning. And then the final aspect is what method or methods are going to be used to test the student competency. So they'd have to explain that process so that we know, is it a written test? Do they do it online? And then is there a portion that's done where they have to, because sometimes for bid calling, they have to do that one-on-one with the instructor. So how does that the program support those? Overall, looking at this and speaking with our legal counsel as well, we don't actually need a rulemaking to allow the online programs. We just need to understand the direction the commission would like to go in this. However, I would recommend that we do a rulemaking going forward so that we can specifically address that and clarify it within our rules, and then it's spelled out, and we know exactly, and anybody that looks at them knows exactly how we're going to do that. So there are other states that have allowed this distant learning process. Not every state regulates auctioneers. Some municipalities regulate auctioneers. So it's kind of hard to get a good basis of what every state is doing out there. But currently there are, 4 states that have been known to us that allow this type of program. And then there's one state that allows it part-time, which means the student can do a portion of it online, but they still have to attend in residency. And I don't know if I'd recommend that route, because that kind of defeats the purpose of having a distance learning program at that point. A couple other things to think about as we review this is, if the commission chooses to move in the direction of the online auction school courses, then we really need to think about and address, can a school offer a 100% online program, meaning they don't have an in-residence program at all, which in this case, in the way we're looking at it and proposing it, I think that would be allowable, provided they still meet the course requirements. But that's something to consider as well, because currently we would separate our schools out as the schools that would offer in-residence programs and schools, and if they offered an online portion to that program as well. And that's how we could identify which schools are approved to do an in-residence or an online program. Finally, in closing, as Commissioner Christman mentioned, we did receive a response back from the North Dakota Auctioneers Association this morning. One thing that they highlight is they don't feel the quality of the online education is equal to the level of education that a person would receive if they were in attendance, but they do believe that it can be accomplished online. They would recommend that the process that staff has already laid out, that the PSC would review the course for approval rather than just giving a blanket approval to schools that already have an online, or schools that already have an approved auctioneer course of study. That is everything in a nutshell. Are there any questions or clarifications? I hope that was clear for the commission, but I'll stand for any questions.
Conrad, I have a couple of questions, and it might be, or Commissioner Christman, you two are the experts in this area. And I'll put both questions out first, and then you can answer them in whatever order you want. But on paragraph 4 of the letter that was received, or the email correspondence from Mr. Troutman, in paragraph 4, does that imply that there are any individuals that might be conducting online auctions in the state or acting as an auctioneer in one of those online auctions who might not be licensed? So that was a question that I had after reading the fourth paragraph, if that's an issue or if it's not an issue or a gray area. And then the second, in terms of the distance learning online courses, are the schools that an individual might attend to conduct or not conduct, but to go through the curriculum from an online, via online, are those schools sanctioned by the National Auctioneers Association? And are they really the ones who measure whether or not they are or would not be adequate for distance learning?
I'm going to let Conrad answer the second one because he's been working with these various schools much more closely than I have. But as for the first one, if you recall in Conrad's comments, he mentioned basically being able to move forward with this request with some more homework potentially, but that in the near future we do probably want to come with an administrative rules package on auction schools, just to make things more clear. And so one of the things that I really think we need to be looking at, either through legislation or the rules, I'm not sure which is the spot to address it, is the answer to your first question. And that is that yes, if it's a completely online auction sale, they don't need to be licensed in North Dakota. And I'm not sure that is what the policymakers in the legislature necessarily wanted at one time. If it is, then I guess it is. But I know it certainly causes great consternation in the licensed auctioneer community. And frankly, it does with me too, because we have absolutely no certainty that every outside North Dakota auctioneer that is able to set up an online auction in the state is familiar with North Dakota laws and administrative rules and is going to conduct it in the way that we expect auctions to be conducted in North Dakota. So Conrad, if you want to take over on the second one.
Yeah, yes, no, not a problem, Commissioner. And if I may reapproach the first item there as well, the topic of auctions that are held exclusively via the internet was taken up by the legislature. I can't remember which session, but it was after 2010. And that's when the exceptions were added to the law that if an auction occurs exclusively online, then the individual hosting the auction and working with that program is not viewed as an auctioneer and auction clerk in the meaning of our chapter. So therefore, they would be exempt from that licensing process.
Thanks for pointing that out. I didn't realize it was that fresh. So thank you.
Yes, not a problem, Commissioner. So going to your second question there, Commissioner Crossers, dealing with distance learning. I'm not familiar with all of our schools as far as their process, but we do have some of them on the list that have received accreditation through their state's departments of education for the programs that they offer. Now, that was not a requirement under our current rules as it's written, provided that the school offers courses that cover this material and is subject to this many hours of instruction, then and they can meet those requirements, then they could apply to be an approved auction school. I don't know if there is a accreditation process under the national program. That I'm not familiar with.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Fedorchuk, did you have any questions related to this?
I do. First, what is it you're looking for today, Conrad?
Commissioner Fedorchuk, what I'm looking for today is direction from the commission. And if we need to continue to do some research, we can, on how does the commission view the online auction programs, and would the commission be open to allowing these schools to apply for approval to conduct a distance learning program? And so that's what I'm here today for, but depending upon the direction I receive, we can certainly do more research if you feel that that's necessary as well.
Sure. And do we have a request, one request, or how many folks have requested this?
Out of the currently 12 schools that we have approved, we've received requests from three of them. And I would anticipate that eventually, as more information is out there, that we would receive additional information on that. One of the schools, and just to bring you back in a lot of the history of it, one of the schools was planning on hosting an online program and allowing, and having, at least I know of one North Dakota individual that was interested in attending that program, and they were planning on starting it up. And when I contacted them about that, they said, well, we didn't see anything in the rule that prohibited it, so we assumed that it was okay. So no matter what, we still need to offer some direction to our schools to let them know this is how the commission is viewing online programs at this point, so that we don't have any other schools that are believing that provided they keep the same exact program, they just move that the currently approved program from an in-residence program to an online program, that they still meet the requirement.
Okay. And do you approve the curriculum of the program, the existing programs? I can't remember what you said earlier.
The process is the school apply. We have a form for that. They have to submit documentation for that. Staff will review that in accordance with the rule to make sure the program meets the rule requirements, and then staff will make a recommendation to the commission, similar to how we removed one auction school during the regular commission meeting. There will be a motion to approve the school. So that happens with the commission motion and order.
And then, so basically what you're looking at is adding a few more criteria for the online programs.
Correct. Adding a few more criteria for the online program and ensuring that the commission's direction is that we will review and we authorize online distance learning for North Dakota auctioneers.
Yeah. Well, from my perspective, I think it's a good idea to do it, to offer it. I'd like to see this different recommendations you had today, in writing, just so I can think about them more thoroughly. But I think that it's a good direction, and I'm in support of doing it. And if we have to do it sooner versus later because of COVID, just a proposed, like, here are the things that we need to look at and why, and this is how it comports with what the Auctioneers Association says.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Before we wrap up questions, a couple other comments I'd like to make, because they might spur more questions from you all. Outside of any requests that Conrad has had, a friend of mine in the Bismarck business community, actually just by coincidence, shortly before coronavirus issues started becoming real, in the Midwest, had inquired with me about where you go to auction school. It's a sales business, and he was interested in becoming an auctioneer to further enhance his business. And you know, I gave him staff information and our website where he can look it up. And when I seen him frequently and knew we were contemplating this, I brought this up, and this would be such the perfect opportunity for someone like that who has a hands-on business and is unable to very easily take a week or two or 3 weeks off to go somewhere and attend to auction school, but is a hardworking business entrepreneur and would dedicate the time to learn the process and be able to do it while maintaining his business. So there is some good opportunities here for North Dakota residents to benefit from this. It's not just all about the convenience of the auction schools. A couple of the things that I want to point out that I'm still concerned about that we need to work on before approving this, and Conrad hinted at them, but I don't know how obvious the depth of these concerns go. One is testing security, and it's a little different, but you know, we're all aware, because it involved movie and social media stars, about the testing issues with like ACT tests and things like that that universities use for admissions, and where, you know, you could actually just pay someone else to take the tests. Now this would be on the opposite end of the education, but we need to make sure that the person that we're licensing is actually the one who successfully passed the testing requirements of any auction school curriculum that we approve. The second one is, you know, we talk about a username and password, and you know, in the example of us using that with our email, our state email, for instance, yeah, it protects the agency, it protects us, and so we're all kind of on the same team, and that works. But if you think of the example of a lazy or preoccupied student who doesn't want to sit through these classes but just wants the license, once the school issues a username and password, and we're going to count any hours that their computer is logged on through that username and password as time in the presence of a licensed auctioneer, that could be anyone on the other end of that computer. So somehow or another, in my mind, these schools are going to need to be able to verify that the right person is on the opposite end of that electronic communication throughout the process. There are more details to work out, but I want to make sure that before we go through all that effort to clarify those things and find a usable solution to the potential problems, that the rest of the commission was on board with even the concept of interactive schooling for auctioneers.
All right, thank you, Randy. I don't have any other comments related to this. Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't either, thank you.
All right, well, thank you, Commissioner Christman, for the discussion. It was very helpful, I appreciate it. I have one, and Steve, are you on the line still?
I am.
Okay, just first I want to confirm, our meeting today was scheduled once, we didn't move it and then move it back, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so then it is not a special meeting, and I can add one item to discussion. And that
Excuse me, this is Conrad here. If I may interrupt really quick.
Sure.
I just want to make sure that I understand at this point, commission's direction to staff is to reach out to this seems like a concept worth exploring. Staff is to reach out and ask a couple of additional, find some more information about kind of the testing security and the validation process that schools will use to identify the correct student is actually attending the course. And then in addition to that, draft a proposal to the commission on some of the additional requirements we would like to review the distance learning courses for that we currently don't do for the in-residence courses. Is that correct? And then report back to the commission?
That is my understanding, Commissioner Christman. Is that the direction you'd like to move this?
That sounded correct to me, Conrad.
Okay, very good. Just wanted to make sure I knew exactly what direction I was going in. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Conrad. Appreciate it. Steve, I have just a quick question, and that is, as time goes on, or time has moved forward, and people have been working, obviously, from home now for a considerable period, do we have any policy in place related to, and this is to make sure we're taking care of them, but for some of the meetings, I would imagine there's a fair amount of printing, possibly, for some individuals using home computers. Is there a policy that they can seek reimbursement for ink, for example? How is that handled?
At this point, we have not had requests for that, although I have had one employee with some concerns in that area. I do not believe we have a policy that is specific to that. However, we do have a telecommuting policy which may apply and would allow us to reimburse at our discretion.
Okay, is that consistent with state policy?
To my knowledge, it is. I will verify, however.
Yeah, really, this is becoming, in some instances, a new normal, if you will, even when things do return. I think agencies across state government will be evaluating, and you've heard some of that already, about telecommuting as more of a permanent aspect for some employees. I think each agency can decide for themselves. I'm more of an in-person advocate, if you will, having people at the office, but this could go on for a period of time, and I just want to make sure we're on the right course with making sure we're being fair to employees. If in fact, as an example, the example I gave, and I only know this because I replaced my ink cartridges actually before the COVID situation. So, and I'm doing everything essentially digitally, very little printing of material. So it's not an issue for me, but for some it might be. And it can tend to get pricey over the course of time. So have you checked, Steve, has any direction been given out of HRMS on this?
No, there hasn't. That's why I was going to follow up and make sure there wasn't anything that would prevent us from doing such things, and then probably query staff and see how they sit. I know I have done some, but not to the extent that it's material.
Commissioner Fedorchuk, any
thoughts? Yeah, on that point, another possible way to mitigate those costs would be to have the staff that are on site, like John Hamry or Shelley, print and scan stuff as possible. I'm assuming that's what's happening for the agenda items and all of that. I'm hoping that John is doing that once and sending it to all of our assistants for them to get to us, or just sending it all to us. But, you know, it wouldn't be necessary for him to do all that printing and scanning, and then also for Jerry to be doing all that printing and scanning of the agenda items for us individually. It should just be done once. So anyway, that's just an example.
Yeah, I believe, Commissioner, that is the general process that is in place.
Good.
Hey, Commissioner Christman, any thoughts?
Well, just that last, Steve, what is the process that's in place? Clarify for me.
We're trying to print as much on the systems in the capital as possible, and then scan anything we need and send out from there. Now, there have been a few forms that required signatures, and I've printed those, signed them, and scanned them and sent them back, but that's a very fairly rare thing, I think. So the vast majority of it's to be done in the office, scanned and sent out electronically. The one that I did hear some question from was the administrative side of public utilities, and I'll follow up on that.
Yeah, because for example, I didn't have the meeting materials, the motions and orders and such printed out and available in my mailbox for this meeting.
I wonder if I'm the only one receiving. I have what John has been doing for me, and it's really helpful. He sends two documents before the commission meetings. I think this is the third time he's done it now. And one is just consecutively the motions and the orders for all the agenda items, so I can just move through. And then the second, of course, is the agenda, and so I'm not bouncing back and forth and using a split screen on my desktop and then my iPad for the other document. But I did print out three pages today just because it was simple on having the announcements handy and the administrative agenda handy. But I don't see any reason why he couldn't share that as well. I would say
I'm just getting that.
Yeah, I'm getting the emails, but I mean, as far as printed documents, I'm just doing it electronically. And
okay, right.
And so, you know, I don't like it as well. It's doable, but I just have the one screen, and so bouncing back and forth is pretty challenging. You know, we haven't had that complex of issues, so it hasn't really been a problem. But I just wanted to clarify if someone is, I thought I'd understood that someone was printing these out at the office, and if they were, there must be in a pile somewhere where I'm not finding them when I have it checked over the weekends because I haven't seen anything. But as for now, I don't have an issue with how it's working.
Okay, I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
I'm not getting them printed out either, Randy. I'm just getting them scanned, which is fine. I don't need them printed out. I'm sure you could request that, though, if you wanted it and wanted to swing by and pick it up on Tuesday.
Yeah, we have done that on occasion under when requested. That has happened. So.
Okay. And I'm good with the way it's going now as well, because I suppose I could also use a desktop, a laptop, and an iPad as well, but I've just been going with the split screen, so I'm fine on the electronic side, but sometimes it is handy to have them printed as well for notes and whatnot, so.
I agree.
Okay. All right.
Well, one thing, Mr. Chairman, before we wrap up on that, I will say, though, when the agenda comes out on Fridays, especially citing orders or rate case orders or those kinds of things, I think it's really nice if on Friday before leaving, if the complex orders like that can be printed out. At least I'd like them in my mailbox. I usually go up over the weekend at some point and grab that kind of thing. And sometimes I just really like pouring through it on paper and marking them up and that sort of thing. So in the case of citing orders or rate cases, I would prefer if they could be printed and put in my mailbox on Friday afternoons.
We'll see that that happens, Commissioner.
Thanks.
Good, perfect. All right, well, that's all that I had. We morphed a little bit on that one, which is fine. But that's all I had on that particular topic. And then I do have one thing that I would like to add to scheduling. And are there any other discussion matters that anyone would like to add at this time?
Mr. Chairman, you like to authorize signatures for today?
Yes, absolutely. I would authorize John. Commissioner Fedorchak?
I would authorize Shelley, and I do have one more item for discussion.
Okay, we'll circle back to that. Commissioner Christman, who would you authorize?
I'll authorize Esther.
Okay, and then
and
back
I'll
to
authorize
you.
Matt.
Okay, perfect. And back to you, Commissioner Fedorchak.
Could you give a quick little update on the Bakken task force that talked about just briefly last weekend? I'm just interested in an update on what our role is and how that group is meeting, et cetera. Just if you could give an overview of that, that'd be great. I forget what it's called. I think it's called Bakken Task Force, but.
Right, the Bakken Restart Task Force.
Restart.
I believe is the correct title, but don't hold me to that. But I was on a call with, I would almost have to pull it up to make sure I have all the right parties, but I was on a call with several other agencies and the governor's office. And basically it's just positioning and when things are, conditions are better, if you will, to have things in place to get the Bakken restarted as quickly as possible. And they were looking at different regulatory roles. So when I was on the call, I think what the two points I made to them, and I stress that it doesn't, neither negates the need to obtain proper regulatory approval. And they still have to meet the requirements of law when it comes to a project application. And so I told them the two things that we were really doing. Through the executive order, holding hearings remotely so we can keep the process going without the underlying health risks that would be associated with meeting in person. So that's an action that the commission has taken, supported by the executive order. And then the other part was just that we recognize with limited appetite, if you will, for investing in the oil and gas space right now, that we were cognizant of that and processing applications as quickly as we could while, again, making sure that the requirements were met. At the end of that call, it was determined that we would not be involved from, in terms of ongoing calls, that would fall more into the Industrial Commission, oil and gas, who were on the previous call, et cetera. And that our role in terms of what they are looking for, we'll continue down the path we are on. So it was more of a fact finding, I think, in terms of who does what, and some things that they thought might be jurisdictional in us, for example, were not. And
okay.
They're really storage facilities, that type of thing. So I think I probably did more clarifying of what we can do and what we can't do, and what we don't have responsibility over. But that was really our involvement on, I think it was maybe an hour and a half call.
So it's being run by the governor's office, and their goal is to streamline permitting and regulatory oversight to facilitate just to ease those burdens on the industry. Is that kind of accurate?
Yes. Well, not. I don't know if I'd really say to ease regulatory burden, maybe from an administrative standpoint, not from a statutory standpoint, which
right.
I think is what you're saying anyway. Because I wanted to be very clear in terms of how the public might look at this, knowing that this information ultimately was going to be made public, that it doesn't reduce the requirements in any way, shape, or form. We're just expediting and working with unique circumstances as quickly and effectively as we can when things would come up. And that would, I think, be applicable to all of the agencies, whether it's the land department or the others.
Good. Well, I think it's great. I've long thought that there should be like an energy task force of all the agencies involved in energy sector health or DEQ now, Industrial Commission, us, probably tax, just, you know, meeting on a quarterly basis or whatever to talk about things and key issues. So this seems like a step in that direction. So I'm glad to see that we're participating and hopefully they won't forget to include us back in when it gets back into our jurisdiction.
Right, and they did indicate that as different scenarios are presented, to pull the applicable parties in and back into the conversation. So it's a good point, and I agree.
Yeah, okay, thank you, Brian.
Yep, you bet. Commissioner Christman, did you have any questions related to that?
No, I don't, but thanks for the update.
All right, then. Any other discussion matters? Sensing none. The last thing would be scheduling, and I do have one thing I would like to at least start. Look at scheduling based on when everyone feels they're ready, and that would be a work session on the HESCOT 4 project. And Jack, if you are still on the line, I see you are. Are we waiting for any additional information, anything late filed related to that here?
Chairman Crushes, I apologize. There was someone in my office a moment ago. Which hearing are we specifically referring to?
The HESCOT 4, the consolidated hearing with the three different cases tied to HESCOT 4, Lewis and Clark, and then HESCOT 1 and 2.
Right, and you're asking if we're waiting for any additional comments or information?
Right, at this point, I'm trying to recall. Right.
I think at this point in time, we should have everything. We should have received everything at this point.
Yeah. Okay, with that said, would next Wednesday or Thursday be, would that work for everyone, or would you like a little more time? Commissioner Fedorcha?
Let me pull up my calendar for next Thursday or Wednesday. I guess I would prefer Thursday after 10.
Okay. Commissioner Crispin, any time, would after 10 o'clock on Thursday work for you?
When did you mean you would prefer after 10 on Thursday as opposed to before 10, or as opposed to Wednesday also? Is it Thursday the
Wednesday,
one you prefer?
Wednesday is pretty tied up. I have a UGPTI thing the afternoon and a baccalaureate mass in the morning, so I'm kind of tied up on Wednesday.
Okay.
So Thursday then, after 10 would be the best for me.
I can do that if after 10 is, you know, fairly soon after 10. My afternoon is kind of booked up, but 10, 11 yeah. o'clock I could do.
Yeah. I have an appointment that morning from 8 to 10 as well on Thursday. So that's why I said after 10. But okay, yes, so 10, I mean, 10. What? 10:15 would be great. Yeah, 10:30 would be great.
At 10:30 sounds good to me on the 21st. Steve, could we get that scheduled for Thursday, the 21st at 10:30?
I will get it scheduled, Commissioner.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Commissioner Fedorchuk, any other scheduling matters?
I do not. Thank you.
Commissioner Christman?
No, I do not. Thanks.
Okay, well, then that concludes the administrative portion of the meeting, and we are adjourned. Thank you.